Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty Podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today, to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to, if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple days after that, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct. Yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns, mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what Omer. There is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for however, whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting, mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer, mm-hmm. as well.
Good evening. It is the 47th day of the Omer. It is May 13th, and we are in the week of Malchut, which is sovereignty, dignity, mastery, completion, reflection, and divine presence. The people are David, Rachel, and Esther, and the color is blue.
And we are in the day of Hod, which is splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. And the people are Aaron and Hannah, and the color is lavender.
It's less heavy.
Hey, yesterday you said, you know, something about, well, what did you say?
That the heaviness won't be every day.
Yes. So today, here we are. And you've just proven that your statement is true.
I feel like this one's very comforting, which would go with lavender. Lavender is really a comforting color.
Well, I think it could be heavy, though, because like empathy, humility, service, surrender, those are all heavy things. I think the splendor and glory make it feel lighter.
And they're heavy, but they're not eternity heavy. When I read like empathy, humility, service, and surrender, I think of what is the mastery of empathy? What is the mastery of humility? Where is the divine presence in the empathy and in the humility?
I see. I like that. I like the what. Where's the divine presence in the surrender?
Mm.
Like in all these pieces, where is the divine presence in the splendor and the glory? Because we can definitely have splendor and glory of ourselves, mm-hmm. and not of the divine presence of God. Because God's splendor and glory is the only thing that I think brings shalom, that brings wholeness, that brings people together. And I think that's another thing. Like, I would say reflecting on the divine presence's splendor and glory, actually bringing completion, mastery, and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of God, like, we can think of God in an unhealthy way of, well, God just wants glory for him for itself, and it's empty. Like, selfish means. And that's not what God's glory and splendor is about. God's glory and splendor is shared with creation. God put it into creation, both humans, animals, plants, you name it. And so the splendor and glory, I think of it as God sharing it with creation and imparting it in creation, and that it is for the benefit of all creation.
Yeah, I like that. And even looking at humility, I mean, I know we've talked about it before, of what are you humbling yourself for? Is it you, or is God humbling you? But this is the perfect time to sit in that of, because the divine presence is the divine presence in your humility. And if it's not, are you humbling yourself just to get attention then?
Or are you being humbled because you don't have a choice? Right? Because I think in, like, work environments, sometimes things can happen out of your control. And, like, and you are very humbled by things not going your way. But I think there's different kinds of humility. I think you're bringing up the point that there's different kinds of humility in how we humble and what causes us to humble and what's present in humility.
And even how we act out of each.
And the divine presence and empathy. Like, I think you can go overboard in empathy. You can lose yourself in the feeling with others that you almost overtake their feeling. You know, and don't leave space for them. And so, like, where's the divine presence in your empathy that would keep you balanced in that approach? And what is the I'm all about the dignity. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry but not sorry. But, like, where is the, what is the empathy and dignity, or dignity and the empathy? Like, what in the empathy, what are you trying to bring dignity to? Because if it's yourself, then it's not empathy. Ooh, that's good.
That is really good. I like that. What are you trying to bring the empathy to?
Oh, I love when God drops nuggets in our brains. You know, like in the air, and you just kind of snatch them out of the air.
It's not us speaking, it's God speaking.
Exactly. You just, God just puts it out there, and you're like, oh, ooh.
I'm sitting in the service and surrender of the divine presence. In the Hebrew word eved, which is to work, worship, serve, servant, slave. And what does that look like? To Evid, God and the divine presence.
In relationship to, like, service and surrender.
And that in Hebrew, the service and surrender also means work and worship. And even slave.
It's so, like, this, you just brought this complex nugget out.
You thought we were done with one nugget? Now here's another one.
I know. It's just so good because it's true. Like, what is the evid in the service and surrender? What is the evid in my work and worship? What is my evid even in my, like, where's the divine presence even in my slavery? And what am I a slave to? What am I worshiping? What am I working for? What am I serving? What am I servanting? Right?
And the reflection that it takes to answer each of those questions.
Which is in the Malchut.
They go so good together. Of, you need to reflect on, what are you serving? What are you worshiping? What are you a slave to? Because if it's not the divine presence, you're not being intentional on where you're at for today. Or overall, I think we need to only work, worship, and serve and be a slave to the divine presence in God. Mm-hmm. Not just today.
Right. And like, reflecting on that, what am I work, worship, and serving, slaving? Mm-hmm. Where do I not have mastery? Where does God not have sovereignty? And where is, what does completion look like? Like, the road toward that.
I really liked your question. Where does God not have sovereignty?
Ooh, yeah.
That, like, hit me in the face. Where am I not giving God the supreme power and authority?
And why is that? Because I think it's a trust thing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we judge God by imperfect human behavior and brokenness. And we forget that God isn't broken. He is, God is the thing that holds all things together. Elohim. Mm-hmm. And is making, restoring all things, making all things new.
And this is where I think we need to have God humble us and to surrender ourselves to God to give them the sovereignty.
Yeah. And that is easier said than done. Mm-hmm. To give sovereignty to God. Mm-hmm. Like, where is God not sovereign in our lives? Mm-hmm. And to give those areas to God, it's going to take a lot of service, surrender, reflection, humility. Because I think our main struggle is not being our own God.
Absolutely.
Like, we want to be our own God. We want the knowledge of good and evil without God. We want to be lords of our own time. And so literally what this is asking us is to surrender to the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like day to day? And you're going to have to do that over and over and over again.
Yeah. I really like that. What does it look like to surrender to the sovereignty of God?
I think we're going to leave it there. That's the right spot. Mm-hmm. Blessings, everyone. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.